Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Pop quiz. You know this one. How does John's Gospel begin? What are the first words of it? Loudly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think of when you were first taught about creation and Christ. Do you remember being taught the Genesis account of the days of creation, and that there was nothing except God? And God then said, "Let there be light." And there's light. As a child, I remember trying to wrap my mind around this whole thing. And I think I imagined nothing. And God, outside the nothing, God speaking into, like across the border of the nothing, and making something, light, or the dry land, or the ocean. But I think somehow I missed the point of the Word being a person, because I wasn't used to thinking of words being people. People say stuff, but they say it from over there. And the Word crosses the space and comes to you, but they're still over there. Do you think that way? But John tells us, but the Word was God. The Word was with God, over there, if you will. But the Word was God, and the Word moved through space and came to dwell with us, to live inside of us, to pitch his tent with us, is the Johnine phrase. As a preacher, I so want to help you in these last weeks and days of Lent. Open yourself to the presence of God around you in a way that you've never had before until now. Because that's what this passage is all about. It begs for us to put ourselves in the story and not receive it as this long ago and far away story about other people, but it's happening in me. Remember, especially by virtue of your baptism, God is in you, wanting to recreate you even now. Recreate me even now. Can we turn God loose to do that, to face whatever the current challenge or the looming challenge might be? I've asked Spencer and Rosie to help me read again this passage, but I'm going to interrupt it several times. Instead of doing a discursive homily right now, we're just going to go back into the story a second time, and I'm going to stop a few times and make a comment or two. Are you up for that? Okay, this time don't let the words just come in your ears and bounce around. Imagine them being inside of you and speaking inside of you and echoing inside of you and hoping that there's an opportunity to recreate you, to do something new in you in these days, okay?
Now a certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said,
"This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." I used to think of that as it was kind of a self-referential comment. that Jesus is kind of allowing the death of somebody to be kind of means to an end so that he is glorified somehow, and it just sounded wrong. Well, it sounded wrong because it is wrong. It's not that Jesus needs more adulation, more glory. Glory has to do with light. And he's the light that comes into the world, and he's trying to enlighten and show that the God that you pray to that's out there is in here, and what's about to happen is going to help you experience that in a new way. Let's keep going.
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
listen to this. I'm going to Jerusalem? No, he says, let's all of us go to Jerusalem.
The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the people there were just now trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered,
are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day don't stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. And that's the point. Because if you understand that the God who brings light of the darkness isn't outside of you, but is inside of you, well, then the light can come out of you. It doesn't have to just enter you from far away, from 93 million miles away. The light of God can come out of you at least enough so that you can take one next step. You don't always get a blaze of brilliance that outlines the next 10 steps you should take. But the light of Christ inside of us will always illumine at least the next one. It'll come out of us. Let's go. Oh, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up.
The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, that you may come to believe. Let's go to him.
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Now, think of it this way. The Martha and Mary characters are about to have all the lines in this next section. Think of Martha being a person who's trying to be a person of faith, but a lot of it is staying at a kind of a left brain assent to idea kind of thing. It's almost like catechism answers. She knows what she's been taught, and she understands what she's been taught, or at least she thinks she does or tries to. Mary, though, is the contemplative that takes all this stuff in and ponders it inside. She has a kind of an assimilation of the faith that's in her bone marrow. It's in her blood. She also knows that believe and beloved are the same word. Do you believe in your beloved? And believe in your beloved's love for you? That's altogether different from just having some propositions that you put check marks next to. Okay?
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many people had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Your brother will rise again.
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection, on the last day.
Oh, how tired I am of hearing about the last day, the sweet by and by. Pie in the sky, manana. I am the resurrection, and I'm the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
"The teacher is here and is calling for you."
And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The people who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
"Where have you laid him?"
"Lord, come and see."
Do you remember where those words are first used in John's Gospel? "Come and see." All the way at the beginning. Remember, John the Baptist is out there baptizing, and John the Baptist says, "That's the Lamb of God, follow him." And people do. And the next day they come back and they warn John that he's losing market share. People are going over to that guy you told us to follow. And a couple of guys hang around Jesus and they kind of follow him. And Jesus turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Master, where do you stay?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." It's invitation. Do you want to come into me, into my place? I'd love that. This time it's coming out of her mouth. She's heartbroken at the loss of her brother, but she says, "Come into my heartbreak. Come and see."
Jesus began to weep. So the people said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
"Get that thing out of the way. Take away the stone."
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out!"
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him. Let him go."
Many of the people, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.